AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
So, old one, so like the wind.
Okay, second down and nine.
That's a final question.
Sometimes
I'm a horse.
Way to go, you hurt their feelings, you know that?
Excellent.
We're sailing to a place on the map from which no one has ever returned.
Petros and Money on AM 570. Oh, gong it out, Vic. Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Your home of the Dodgers off day today, but we are your home for NFL football. That means an hour from now, about an hour and 10 minutes. Jaguars, Titans, AFC South tilt in Duval County. Gardner Minshew, Marcus Mariota, two Pac-12 quarterbacks doing battle. 1-0-2, 1-1-1. Who will come out ahead?
You'll hear it tonight.
You'll hear it right here. Maybe our friend Ian Eagle. Maybe our friend Kevin Harlan. Maybe our friend Tony Baselli. Could be our friend James Lofton.
You never know.
You never know. You got to tune in to see.
Rotation.
But no Jim Gray tonight. That
no.
We know.
No. He's back in his hole. David Vasse joined us earlier. We still have Ned Coletti in the very next segment. Maybe he'll have something different to say about Kenley Jansen. A big thank you to Favai Favai from Island Avenue, a local story that is now in Tilly's. The great shirts for the people of Carson and Wilmington and all Polynesians and all people. And all people.
Five doors. He's got Island Ave and Five Doors. Tilly's locations in Irvine, Spectrum, South Coast Plaza.
Torrance.
Huntington Beach, Torrance, Santa Monica.
Beautiful.
Tilly's.com.
And speaking of all people, Dean Logan to help the voting for all people.
Really enlightened us. You know, we like to serve as a vehicle to the people for information that can help you in your daily lives. 2020 election, sharing that you're going to have 2 weeks. No more Tuesday. Take the day off work, go to a specific polling place. Like 11 days to figure it all out. You can download all your selections onto an app. I think it's going to go great.
Tonight you got Ian Eagle Baselli.
Tonight's Ian Eagle Baselli. There we go.
Ian Eagle, I know for sure. Baselli lives in Jacksonville.
Would make sense.
You don't have to pay for the hotel.
No.
But you do have to for Ian. All right, it's time, everybody.
Lofton wants that work, though.
I know he lives there. Hold on.
I know he wants that. I know he lives there.
Three-man booth? Can we do a three-man? You know, I've been trying to get into a three-man, knock Biggins out of the way of the high school game.
What the hell? Why not?
Tired of Biggins washing JT Daniels' balls. I want to move in there in the high school. I'm off this week.
Go get it.
Right? I'll go over there and just bolo him.
I mean, after four games on the prep zone, can't you get one of them?
Farber's going to want to do one with me, right?
Why not?
Yeah. I'll create my own
Upland Valencia?
And then I'll invoice him. Want my money. Well, we didn't ask you to call the game. So what? I made my own mic and I showed up.
Check out my board.
I built my board?
That's just a sheet. That's just a roster. What are you doing, Eves?
We're good to go.
What do you mean? That's how everybody calls it.
AM570LASports.com/PMS to download the podcast or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. It's time for Three Things Thursday, everybody.
Roll it.
One, two, three.
This is Three Things Thursday.
Things are not going great in the amateur ranks in town. UCLA football is perhaps putting together the worst campaign in the school's history.
That's how it looks now. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better on Saturday night on the Palouse.
Exactly right. But there is something to celebrate, UCLA Bruin fans. We start Three Things Thursday with a victory. For all you Bruins out there that have been hanging their heads following losses to Cincinnati and San Diego State non-Power 5 programs to start the season.
And 99 yards on one drive rushing for Jalen Hurts.
99
penalties.
99 yards rushing by a quarterback as Oklahoma
in one drive
humiliated you.
One drive.
In your own house, in front of their fans, and on national TV.
And some of yours.
I want you to lift your shoulders. I want you to feel those shoulder blades cock backwards as you puff your chest out and you raise that chin.
What are you, a yoga teacher?
And you walk.
What do you got?
You walk proud today. Because while that game is being played in Jacksonville, Sunday, one of the three teams from the great state of Florida will make their way to the Lone Star State and the juggernaut through two games that has become the Dallas Cowboys. And they will try to slow that Dak roll. In an offense, they're going to counter the hottest quarterback in the league, not named Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen's going to start?
Josh Rosen's going to start.
Over that Harvard guy, old Fitzy McZitzy?
If you have not been paying attention, and here in Southern California, why would you?
Miami is digging themselves out of a grave.
They are.
Or digging themselves into a grave.
Even farther. They will dig all the way to the other side of the earth at this rate. They have played two games. Their point differential through 2 weeks of a football season, 1/8 of the season is completed. Their point differential currently is minus 92. A minus 92 point differential through two games. They have no offensive line.
That's some
line.
Western Carolina kind of point differentials.
They traded their left tackle. They traded their standout safety. They had a mutiny in the ranks of the running backs. And Ryan Fitzpatrick decided yesterday in a press conference to say, I think we kind of need to address the elephant in the room that we traded our two best players, probably our best player on offense and our best player on defense for draft picks. We are picking up every player on waivers that seems to be cut by other teams to just get warm bodies in the door. There are guys dropping passes all over the place because they're afraid of getting killed when I take snaps. I have to admit, I'm looking over my shoulder because I've been destroyed at regularity so far this season. And he was rewarded for those honest and frank comments by being demoted. And Josh Rosen will be put out there to take the incoming that Ryan Fitzpatrick has already understood through two games. And here's the thing. I mean, not to get into some deep philosophical conversation about the Miami Dolphins and the way they're operating. And it's not like I'm breaking any news or telling you anything you don't know. You can do this in basketball. You can't do it in football. You cannot put guys out there in a violent sport in which men are trying to win football games and wreck you in and play out if you do not have the talent to match. This has never happened before.
There's no half-stepping in football, and that's why it bothers me. I mean, the NFL is a whole different level, but that's why it bothers me with the cupcakes in November. Like, if you want to run McNeese State through an SEC stadium, fine, they'll take their money and do it in September. But when you do it in November, it wrecks everybody's life because everybody out there is trying to win. But I mean, you're putting somebody in a terrible position, and it's not you know you're sending somebody out there in a terrible position so you can make money. In the same way, you know, that's what this is at the pro level. You're putting all of these guys who are out there trying their best in a terrible position, and it really is a bad look in the NFL.
I never thought I'd see it. No. I mean, you say it all the time. Hey, they're both NFL teams. They all are NFL players. The games are going to be close.
Yeah,
and they're
going
to come down to one or
they
two.
They should be.
Right.
Or at least they shouldn't be. This team's at risk because they're trying to
and
lose.
Legitimately, as it was said to me by someone yesterday that was truly enlightening when I said, yeah, I get the Minka Fitzpatrick thing. That's fine. Get extra draft picks. But left tackles are impossible to find right now. Like, they are really hard to find. Guys that have no business being starters are getting $70 million because they're average, and that's what the league's become. They can't find offensive
Colton Miller alone. He's getting better every week.
He is. But he then said, no, they're going to take those two first because they know they're getting Tua, and he's left-handed. So you don't need that left tackle as much to protect his blind side like – it's okay. When it's week two and they've already decided, oh, we don't need a left tackle because the guy that's coming next year is a lefty, but the two guys on our roster right now are not.
And you got to feel bad for Josh Rosen.
Got to be legitimately worried. He's not a mobile guy.
And this isn't going to be his long-term landing spot either because they want to bring in Tua Tagovailoa.
You got DeMarcus Lawrence coming off that end, running a freaking 4.5 40 at 280 pounds this week. That's what I mean.
How about any D end in the NFL? Like, that's the thing. It's like they're all great.
Right.
And if you're trying not to win.
And you don't have to worry about a left tackle because next year your quarterback's going to be a lefty.
You're trying not to win. You put people at risk.
That's
in
a
the
bad
world.
Freaking scene. Second thing.
I wish Pete Carroll would have taken that job when Wayne Huizenga interviewed him in Costa Rica.
More confirmation the Raiders made the right move in releasing Antonio Brown. And you remember when they released him, he was so elated.
The face farting.
The face farting. He was FaceTiming his grandma. Grandma!
Salmon head in the...
They let me go! I'm free, Grandma!
They jumped in the pool.
Jumped in the pools, playing the human airplane in the backyard.
Baptism of sorts, yes.
Nike released 8 months ago signature ABs, a signature shoe that they sold for $100 a pair. Today, those are no longer available. The statement from Nike. In the news that they dropped Antonio Brown as one of their athletes, one of their endorsers. Quote, Antonio Brown is not a Nike athlete. End quote. That was the statement. Normally they would say, we appreciate all that Antonio did for the brand. We wish him well in the future.
Was it the cracker? Was it the flatulence?
Antonio Brown is not a Nike athlete.
Sexual assault?
Could be that he was accused of rape. Could be the other two sexual assaults. It could be farting in the face of a doctor while giggling as his friend watched on and filmed.
Farting in the face of danger.
Could have been the salmon head for soup in the future in the freezer.
This
and the
seems
non-payment.
To be some sort of voodoo against me and my family. I'm not going to pay you the $40,000 I owe you.
But AB no longer has that Nike deal, nor the Zenith helmet. And again, congratulations to the Raiders for making the correct decision, as many others.
No thanks to Gruden, right,
No
Matt?
Thanks to Gruden. He wanted him. Hey, you're misunderstood. I get it, man.
Most misunderstood guy I've ever heard.
Listen, you just got to get on that field and play football, man.
But I'm more than a player.
Yeah, but what I'm looking for. Sorry, that's all we got time for. We'll get the third thing tomorrow. We got to get to Ned.
We've had a lot
Ned's
going
on
today,
on
and Ned Coletti wants
He's
to come
on.
Hold. Combat David Vasse's take.
Exactly right, man.
All right, Ronnie. We'll be right back on the Petros and Money Show. That was Three Things Thursday. Coming up next, Ned Coletti.
Ooh, yeah.
And then your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day. And then ambient noise.
It's a live mic at Union Station.
Crunchy Groovin' Thursday on PMS.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Your home of the Dodgers, but an off day today. We are your home of the NFL, which is why we will be off the air right around 10 after 5. It's Thursday Night Football. Titans versus Jaguars. Kickoff 5:20 p.m. And we have got a whole lot of football all weekend long. Washington State is where UCLA is. That's Saturday night at 7:30 on AM 1150. And then Sunday on KFI. Texans versus Chargers, 1:25 kick from the Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson.
And joining us right now to discuss the conundrum of the Dodgers, or the riddle of the Dodgers, or the math problem of the Dodgers.
Mystery, riddle, enigma.
The smartest man in the history of the world. What to do? What to do with the closer situation? You know, the fans are concerned. Is the coaching staff? Is the front office? Only one man can tell us. In a way that makes you feel.
There it is.
As if you're being told by a certain fantasy football expert on the NFL Network.
Back tomorrow. My popular demand. We're going to do that again?
Yep.
Okay.
Ned Coletti, the Dodger GM that brought in so many of these superstars and is now a hockey scout for the San Jose Sharks. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
The teacher at Pepperdine. Everything's fine at the dime. Just got back from an international stint, doing a little teaching across the pond, as you would say, Matt. And of course, you see him on Spectrum Sportsnet LA and hear him right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Our dear friend Ned Coletti. Hello, Ned. How are you?
Doing good, gentlemen. Doing well.
Well, we're happy to have you, Ned. And congratulations on the big hockey job. Just fabulous for you, and you deserve it.
Thank you. It's quite the honor, and I'm grateful for the chance, you know, to compete again. You know what that is, you know, to compete. And different than rooting. I missed a competition, but I got some back.
Pretty great.
Yeah. And
hockey, your passion.
Please fix his body. Don't let my wife see how they butchered my boy. Hey, you know, it gets crazy out there, man.
Hey, that's a competition too.
Talk about
the body. I don't want the wife to see how they butchered the boy. That's a competition.
Now that day may never come, but we may ask you a favor that has something to do with the San Jose Sharks.
What are you doing there, Cates? You're moving your arm.
All right,
we'll talk about Kenley.
We'll
talk about Kenley Jansen. All right.
Kenley Jansen struggled last night. Of course, social media was set ablaze. I know that the front office types like yourself don't panic when things happen, but it has been four of the last eight, Ned. What do you do in this situation?
Well, I think let's go last night first. So I thought his command was off, as he even mentioned post game. You know, he was probably missing inside or looking outside, missed inside, vice versa, up down. You got to have command. I think when you get to October, I think Dave Roberts will decide game by game what he's going to do and what the situation calls for. I think everybody's aware that you've got a great team, great organization. You've won seven straight divisions, still looking for a World Series. And I think that's the goal. And I don't think anything else will get in the way of decision making. I think it'll be whoever he feels is best at that particular time in that particular game is going to get the ball. And I think Kenley would want it that way as well. I think that when I look at Kenley's stuff, I still see it to be have great life. I didn't see the location that obviously he needed last night. And from time to time, it has been a little wayward. I think one other thing to think about, we won't know this until you get to the end or at least to the middle of the next chapter, is what a lead of 15, 18, 20, 22 games does to players. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to compete at the highest level when you know October is going to be what your history will be written about, whether it's a World Series or whether it's not. And to have leads like that in a game like baseball where you play it every day, it's tough to continue to have the focus you need every day. And I think anybody who would tell you different might be might be fudging a little bit when they tell you that. And I think it's tough to do. And hopefully that's been a little bit of the struggle off and on for a little while here. But I think that Dave Roberts will do what he thinks is best when it comes to that place and time.
Is it too late to try to figure anything out, Ned, because you only have, I don't know what it is, 9 or 8 games left in the regular season to tinker with him in the 7th or the 8th or to try someone else as a closer? Or does that send a signal you can't afford to send with the playoffs essentially already here?
Well, it's obviously delicate, but I do believe that, you know, everybody's focused on October. And I think that they know, as I just said, you know, the history of this season will be written by what happens in October to a large degree. Right or wrong, you know, it's really kind of where the judgment will come. You got a team that's going to win over 100 games again, most likely, and you know that is so hard to do. They've done great stuff again, but you know, you hear 1988 and ad nauseum, and you know, you've probably got to get to that point in time. But I think it's I don't know how much how far away he is from being what he was. I think the few appearances before last night were excellent. I thought the 4-out save the night before was vintage Kenley. And I think when you haven't pitched back-to-back for, I think it was 3 months, now he's going back-to-back, which is what you're going to probably have to do in October. That also takes a little bit of adjustment, especially when you're coming off a 4-out save. That's always a little bit precarious on the next day, no matter who it is. So I think there's still a lot of different factors that you got to kind of measure, and I think you just got to keep a calm perspective on it and do what you think is best when the time comes. And I think that there's no way to predict, but you have to go on past record too, that this guy's been pretty special for a long time. And I think you got to keep that in mind. And you know, he knows Kenley. Kenley knows him. Rick Honeycutt's been his pitching coach every day he's been in the big leagues. So everybody knows each other, and they know the body language. They know the stuff. They know where somebody's at, and they'll make the decision that they think is best when it comes time to getting that, to that point.
Ned, do you think any of it is the ninth inning, that if it were a different inning, he'd be different?
I don't know. I think he's game. Are you asking if he's game for the ninth inning?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's him, you know, putting too much pressure. Like you said, the stuff looks good, but for whatever reason, it's just not happening. I wonder if a different inning produces a different result at this point.
I don't think so. I think that he's game for the ninth inning. I don't think there's any question about that. I think when you think about pitching and the entire sport, the hitting aspect of it or the pitching aspect of it, it is such a precise exercise. And sometimes we lose track of that because we watch it every day and you think it's just kind of normal and common. But your release point, if it's off just a little bit, your ball's going to be in a different spot than you thought it was going to be in. What I saw last night was good stuff, but I saw the location sometimes 6-8 inches apart from when you go back and you watch pitch by pitch where the catcher's setting up and where the ball ends up, it's drastically different. And I think that can be a release point issue. That is maybe that. It could be the stride. It could be just something minute, but it has a huge effect on it. And that can change in a day because the day before, he was right on and a 4-out save the night before. So there's... You know, there's a lot to the performance aspect of it, whether you're a hitter or a pitcher. Timing, having everything work in a precise manner is important. And if you're off a little bit and you're a pitcher, your command is going to be off and you'll pay a price for it.
You feel like the Dodgers are healthy going into this, or healthy enough going into this? This is the last homestand here that during the regular season, and it's coming pretty fast.
Well, it was good to see Max hit the double left center field last night. And getting him back on track is huge. Was 1-for-15 after coming off the IL. You got to get him healthy. Obviously, he's one of your big run producers left side. And getting JT back, too. He's missed a few games now with the ankle. As you guys know, an ankle is a very precarious injury to have because you can't go too quick with it because you could re-injure it in a heartbeat. And now you're going to be sitting for 4 to 6 weeks. So got to be careful with that. I think that, you know, we talk about this team, and you can go through any number of offensive players, position players, and you know, they're excellent at what they do. I think the guy that sits in the middle of it all, though, is Justin Turner. I think he's got, obviously, veteran leadership. He's got a calmness to him. I think people do look for him, and when he is out of the lineup, I think it does change things. I think getting him healthy is a really important piece. But you can't do it too soon, and you'd rather do it later than too soon, obviously. But he's going to need some at bats against some major league pitching. You can have extra BP and, you know, early workout and things like that. But, you know, it's not the same as hitting in October, certainly, against guys that can pitch. You know, they've taken it to so many different pitchers this year that, you know, he'll need to see somebody that can pitch, that can challenge him a little bit by the time you get between now and October. I don't know if he'll have that opportunity or not, but I think it's imperative that he play and that he be as healthy as he can be because he's a key guy. I think he sits in the middle of it, and there's great hitters ahead of him and great hitters behind him and a ton of them. But I think he's also got a little bit of presence to him that helps the club relax a little bit and play its best.
Well, he's not the only guy with a little bit of presence to him. Ned Coletti! Hey, fix it. The great Ned Coletti. Check him out on Twitter. Spectrum
Sports. You remember
Sportsnet.
That line, huh?
Oh, it's the best.
We know them all, Ned. We remember all of them.
Three words we live by. Unfortunately, yeah. We hear it too often.
Every day, almost.
Yeah.
Ned, have a great day.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
We'll be right back with more PMS. Your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day coming up next. Your NL champs, the Dodgers, the champion here, are off tonight. When we were talking about restraining orders yesterday for our big show at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa on Tuesday, we're going to have a big stack at that show. We're going to hand out Dodger tickets and restraining orders.
We may not hand out any restraining orders.
We might, but
we may hand out all
there.
Of them.
But what's his name? Your boy, Solo Sports, was texting me like, the champ is here. I'm the champ. They hate me. Blah, blah. It's like, God, could you be more annoying?
Incredulous. Jerk face. Wait till you get that restraining order.
Wait till you get it. Not
them Cabazon cops, they don't mess around.
Oh,
man.
Hell no.
They do not mess around.
The elders are going to put you in the longhouse.
That's right. Or on Indian land.
Longhouse?
Oh, you're
going to
wear
you're
it.
You're going to the longhouse. Hey, Morongo loves us. We're in the tribe.
Exactly right.
We do commercials for them. And the Dodgers
Morongo.
Are on. Casino. Texas versus Chargers. That's on Sunday with the Tejanos versus Le Bolts. But tonight, we have got Thursday Night Football. TNF. Hashtag TNF, bro. Titans versus Jaguars. To me, it's like an inner squad because those kind of seem like the same football
team.
They
do feel like the same squad, yeah.
But they are going after each other tonight. And how about this, Matt? Meet old Keekster. The Sneak Hernandez, Saturday from 10:30 to 11:30 at Premier Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Buena Park. We know a little something about Buena Park.
Don't we, though? I heard they're running a contest called Deke the Keek. You get the face off.
They set up two cones. Yeah, you got to try to get around them. Like
exactly.
You wear a flag and he tries to pull your flag.
It's going to be great.
Deke the Keek. Keek blew a hammy. What happened?
It's a contest out in Buena Park car dealership.
Deke the Keek.
Yeah, it went around. It went horribly wrong, though.
10:30 to 11:30. See if you can deke the Keek. Saturday at Premier Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Buena Park off the 5 at Artesia.
Exactly right.
All right.
I'm calling Coletti.
Oh, okay, perfect. Time now for the dead guy birthday of the day, which is celebrating a birthday this week.
Exactly right.
Jamaican News.
It's Jamaica News.
Still applicable.
Absolutely. Matt, when I did some research here on this guy, I think I can confidently say this is at least one of the top five ugliest people that we've ever celebrated, including John Merrick, that we've ever celebrated.
That's saying something.
In this space.
That is saying something.
I want you to look up his face.
Does he embrace his ugliness?
Yes.
Okay, then we're all right.
It's Jamaican News. It's Winston Sparks.
All right, pulling it up right now.
A.K.A. King Stitt. That's him. Jamaican pioneer DJ Matt declared king of DJs in Jamaica by his mentor, the original Jamaican DJ, Count Machuki.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
It's like looking at a cartoon. Like a cartoon villain. Like, hey, let's make the villain really ugly.
He's right there with Yellow Man as far as really ugly Jamaican performer.
I want to say it's one tooth. He's got one tooth.
I would say I'd give him two.
Well, I'm looking at, I guess, a most recent photo where
he's
is.
Dead.
Oh, he is dead.
Dead guy.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense because he's the dead guy.
King Stitt got his nickname because he was a stutterer as a child. He worked mostly for Cox and Dodd and Clancy Eccles, Jamaican music legends. But he was also a mason worker in Ocho Rios, Matt. Couldn't find regular work.
Go figure.
However.
Good music.
Oh, he is a cult hero, especially in the British skinhead reggae scene. The oi skin scene. He's huge. Called himself the Ugly One. And used the good and the bad. Good and bad and ugly motif a lot. You know, he was the ugly one with that. Made a comeback in the early 2000s and performed in Brazil in 2011. Died of prostate cancer in 2012. A deeply ugly man, Matt. The king of Jamaican DJs.
That's one way to put it. And king I can't decide what's worse. His the pictures of him as a youth or the pictures of him near the end.
Well, the crazy thing is like, you know, you're hard-pressed. Like, this is old music now. And this is a, like, when I say DJ, like, he played the beat and screamed into a mic. That's what DJing was in the 60s and 70s in Jamaica. That's what they call DJs. But, like, you're hard-pressed to find, like, an album photo of these guys in those times. Like, normal, good-looking guys, like John Holt and Alton Ellis. But no problem finding a picture of this guy. He's on the cover of all his albums with that ugly-ass face.
Here I am. You're a live guy, an attractive man, but also a bit of a DJ. Celebrating a birthday this week, Dougie Fresh.
Yeah!
Yeah, the human beatbox.
6 minutes.
Hit it, Ronnie. My youngest is trying to learn how to beatbox right now, which I'm pretty jazzed about. She's not good, but at least she's trying.
Hey, you know, Matt, she's got a great teacher. And Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah. I can beatbox.
I know.
I'm fantastic at it. It is one of my great qualities.
I would say that you're not at the level of the Police Academy sound guy.
No.
But you're good, and your daughter learning to beatbox just goes to show that things that were once considered to be totally useless in society are now...
It's coming back.
Like, well, I mean... but
like anything.
You could, like, there's like a school where you could go to learn to beatbox now. As opposed to, like, we used to have to hide the DJ Quick album from our mom.
Right.
And act like rap didn't exist.
He was born in Harlem. That's him beatboxing. He's 53 today. If you can hear him. With Slick Rick. MC Ricky D when he was with Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew.
And they were fresh.
Oh, so good. Slick Rick, everyone. Big hit with the show. Used that Inspector Gadget theme. And this was the B-side on that 12-inch. La-di-da-di. With Slick's vocals.
Oh, I thought Dougie's this was a Snoop Dogg song.
Dougie Fresh beatboxed this entire song. He turned him into stars. One of the earliest hip-hop classics on 12-inch was this, La-di-da-di. Even Hop the Pond was a top 10 record in the UK. Slick Rick left, went solo, you know that. Dougie Fresh took over lead vocals. Had a few hits all the way to heaven. Keep rising to the top. Little up, little down after that until 2010, when the rap group Cali Swag District put out Teach Me How to Dougie. This is the guy that taught me how to dougie.
This is the guy that felt my dougie.
He did the awards circuit with the Cali Swag District, the BET Awards, the Soul Train Awards, where he taught CNN anchor Wolf Blitzer how to dougie on stage as part of the show. It was hilarious. Of course, ESPN did what they always do and ruined it. They brought him in to do the car wash so he could teach Skip Bayless how to dougie. And unfortunately for Dougie Fresh, that was pretty much the end of it. They were like, oh, yeah, that was on ESPN. Dougie was on ESPN, and he was teaching all the anchors.
He would show up on a reality show here and there, stuff like that. But a great rap icon from our childhood.
Most definitely. And a Scientologist.
Oh.
Slick Rick is so good.
I was listening to Slick Rick the other day, and I was like, wow, Slick Rick is really great.
So freaking good. He's got six kids.
Dave, the dope fiend, shoot in dope. Who don't?
Dougie does? Dougie's got six kids. All boys.
Just beatboxing all around town, huh?
Exactly right. Happy birthday, Dougie Fresh.
All right. Petros and Money Show continues. We still have, there's no Jim Gray interview today. So we
get like 15 minutes.
We're going to chop it up. We'll have a final hour fun fact. We'll have a little grab ass and a little more great sports talk for you. 3 hours plus
great
today.
Sports talk.
And tomorrow we'll be back on for another 3 hours at 3 before the Dodgers take on the Rockies.
Yes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.